Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. It's a little crazy here. We're going to try something a little different tonight, which I haven't done before, so excuse me as I'm trying to put everything together. Let me get this set up for Doug. And he's good. Let me turn the volume down. And here you go, Doug.
And Instagram. Okay.
And I'm here with Chelsea. And yes, what we're going to try to do is Chelsea had put out on her Instagram page if anybody had any questions to ask her. So we have the Facebook Live chat room. Doug is monitoring that, and he's going to write down the questions, and we can ask those questions. I have some that were sent earlier, and we're trying to – I have my Instagram page open so you can ask questions there. And Chelsea just noticed that on my Instagram pictures, I do take a lot of pictures of my little Snicky.
He's and so cute.
So don't mind if you see the dog pictures. They're there.
Just like them.
Yes. Anyway, so we'll use that if you have any questions. But anyway, what I want to do is first of all, just welcome you back. It's so awesome to always have you here. And the last time she was here, she brought Grover Jackson over, and we had done a show on him. But at that time, I had approached her about working on one of my guitars. And this guitar here is a 1974 Ovation Electric Legend, and the pickup finally died on it, and it had the original Ovation pickup in it. And couple of years ago, I had done a show with Jim Stubblefield on the Carlos Juan pickups, and very generously, Carlos sent me a picture. And a pickup. He sent me a pickup. So anyway, I was going to originally put it in one of my Martins, but this guitar, I really wanted to get this back to working because I've used it a lot for sessions, and it plays really nice, and the solid spruce top is aged, and it has a great tone to it. But one of the things I didn't like back then, it was one of the few games in town where you could have an electric acoustic without using a D'Armand pickup, which didn't really sound that acoustic. So what happened was, what I wanted to do, and she's going to go into depth of what the issues and the problems were. This originally had a fatter bridge that was kind of a plastic bridge that had the sensors for the piezo pickups in it. And so I found another replacement bridge that she could put a regular standard bone bridge in there. And because one of the things, I just didn't like the sound of that pickup. It just sounded kind of clacky and plasticky. So the Carlos Juan pickup is a piezo that goes under this bridge. And so I thought, this finish ends right here. So she can basically was able to replace this without destroying the finish of the guitar. And the electronics had disintegrated from the original one. So she put in the Carlos Swan electronics. And basically, there's a volume control here. This control does nothing. So what I do now when people want to play it, I go, don't touch that. So they'll touch it and nothing happens. So anyway, and then back here is the, she put the plug in here so that it fits in here. And then the electronics are right there. And then she has the battery up here. So this guitar, we'll play it in a second. And I'll show you what's going on. But anyway, so I had her do that. And I also asked her to clean up the frets a little bit and dress them. Because the guitar, some of the frets had pulled out a little bit, and I would get them caught on the string because I use this guitar a lot to bend. I did a lot of leads on it in recording. So what I'm going to do today, there's a couple of cool things that we have here. First of all, I brought this along. I had gotten this for a while ago. And this is the VE8 Acoustic Singer, and it's a preamp designed for your acoustic guitar and for your vocal mic. So if you were going to sing, it has reverb on the a chorusing and on the guitar, and the vocals actually has a harmonizer, so you can like sing background. It's really cool for that singer with the one guitar singer thing, and you can put it in. And actually, I think it also has an effects loop. You can do some really cool stuff with this, and it's just a nice little preamp to have. So it's made by Boss, and it's pretty readily available. So this is what I'm going to use to demonstrate the pickup directly in there. And we'll play it in a second. But so I had approached her about this. And so Chelsea had worked on the guitar and a few months back. It's been a while before I've been able to have her on the show. But I wanted to talk about this as a project because it's an interesting project and kind of shows a little bit of some of the magic that Chelsea does. And or as we call it, if I can say it right, the remojification of my guitar. Yeah. So I'll let you explain remojification, and then we'll go from there.
The more we say it, the easier it's going to be. Remojification. Yeah, it's. I think it's what all repairers and people who modify instruments do. It's the act of doing something to the instrument to help the player connect more to it. So that could be as easy as a setup or as complicated as gutting something and kind of rebuilding it from the ground up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's certain guitars that I'll play and they just inspire me to play to go in a certain direction. So that I totally get that. That's very, very, very cool. So tell me what the problems were. I had her put the pickup in. I had the bridge, but now I want to take it from her perspective as a client.
Sure.
What were the problems and what were you looking at?
Sure. So with a lot of, especially these vintage Ovations, they have a really thick finish on them. Mm-hmm. And the bridge is usually glued onto that finish. The problem with taking an old bridge off and trying to glue it back onto that original finish, there's a few things, right? You can't really warranty that new glue is going to do much, and you don't want to use epoxy. That's always a no-no for me, unless I'm repairing something that I don't want to ever move again. Mm-hmm. But to do that with a bridge can cause a lot of internal damage to a guitar because the bridge is kind of that break point where if something's going to fail first, you want the bridge to come up. If not, it's going to start pulling up all of the bracing and the top's going to start cracking and things like that. So with this, I actually had to score around the original bridge. Just so I could have a footprint of the finish that needed to come off. And then with the new one, you kind of
was there a finish under the bridge or wasn't?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there was?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty thick, too.
Okay,
yeah,
so it was
about
actually
a 16th of an inch
so
thick.
It was complete. The top was finished, and then they put the bridge
yes.
on.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And you can get away with that to a point, but when you're talking about really thick finish, that's not solvent based, that's kind of where it gets a little shaky.
This is an acrylic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that they were one of the first that did that.
Yeah.
But that must have affected the tone too.
Yes. Absolutely.
Lot. Now so, there's no finish now where this
right. So now it's wood on wood, which is what we want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I didn't know that. Yeah. I totally didn't know that. But that this was so that was and this matched perfectly. It looks great. Now
it's always nerve wracking because that acrylic can always be very brittle. So you really have to just take your time.
Well, I just want to point out, if I don't know if you guys can see it, even though this might be high def, there is a crack here, but she didn't do that. It was there before. So I just want to say, she didn't ruin my guitar. No, anyway. So
it's just in the finish, too.
Yeah, it's in the finish. Yeah. I asked her about this to take a look at this. The finish finally was, you know, well, this guitar is pretty old. And it and, just dried up and cracked.
And sometimes with acrylics or poly finishes, you can kind of wick in some CA glue, some super glue, and it'll seal back up. With this, I don't think it was quite to the top, so it didn't have much room.
Yeah, it feels
for me
smooth. You can't feel anything here. It's under. But this is solid spruce, and it's aged pretty well. It's really, really good. Oh, here you go.
There you go. There's a close-up for the Instagram people, too. Yeah, it's a gorgeous guitar. So one thing that came with this bridge as well is the original holes that the original bridge had for mounting. And
oh, that's what these were
yeah,
for?
Yeah, for screws. And I'm not necessarily a person who would mount a bridge with screws. I don't think that it's necessary, especially...
Well, if they finished it with the acrylic, they might have not had a choice.
They were like, well, we'll just put some glue on and then, hopefully the screws will keep it down. So what I ended up doing is, you know, because of the wood color on the headstock, I could have matched the wood. Rosewood, ebony tend to be pretty easy to match and blend in when it comes to plugs. But I had this piece of wood that was a perfect color match to the headstock, and I just couldn't resist being creative.
So you can see, I'm going to show this. If you can see here, this is like a piece that's on top here.
Yeah.
I don't think you can see it in there.
It's just like this darker kind of mahogany. It just is this beautiful, warm color. And so I held it up against the bridge, and all of a sudden it popped the grain. And so I was, I told Jeff, I said, I took a little creative liberty that I can totally undo if you end up not liking it.
It looks good.
But if you like it, it looks pretty cool.
I'm a sucker for good wood. And the fact that it matched the headstock totally was cool. And it looks nice. It's very subtle, but it's very nice. And actually, this piece looked lighter. I was shocked when I saw it because it's actually darker like the original one.
Yeah.
Because you oiled it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hydrated it. Yeah.
So it's very, now let me, I'm going to go ahead and play this a little bit so you can hear this pickup. The Carlos Swan pickup is really nice and you can hear the difference. Unfortunately, there's no way for me to show you what the old pickup sounded like now, at least. A close comparison is at the beginning if you go back and listen to the opening where I start talking about introducing the show guitar. And you hear that classical guitar, that's an Ovation classical with the old style pickup. So you can hear a little bit what it sounds like. So this is the Carlos Swan, and it has a really nice tone to it. I'm going to turn on the system here. Tone to it, and a lot of you're getting a lot of overtones. So like, for example, I have a little reverb. You can hear a little reverb on that's from this pedal. Now let me kick the chorus in. this pickup with the, you're getting a lot of overtones and stuff, and the timbre's bright, works really well with effects, especially like a flanger chorus, and it works well with a phaser. I mean, it's really good, but you can see it cuts, and it's very clean. And the guitar is very deep now. It's aged a lot. It was a lot brighter when I first bought it. And then this neck is like a little bit of a V in here. It's the old style. And the early Ovations, you can tell the early ones because you can see, let me see if I can show this on the Instagram. You see how this is there, it just tilts, the neck tilts. Later ones, the neck, the headstock is straight. It's kind of sunk down and straight. And those were like in around the 80s and 90s came out. The newer ones are more like this. The neck shape is a little different, but they're pretty good. And also, too, in credit to Ovation, the newer systems have a pickup system more similar to this, and they might actually have the two pickup systems. This is the Carlos one, just the one pickup under the bridge. But Carlos Juan's famous for, and if you watch the show I did with Jim Stubblefield, he has a microphone under there too. It's a two pickup system similar to the LR Bags Anthem system, which I have on one of my Martins. So, but anyway, the new Ovations have a much more sophisticated pickup system, and they also have like an EQ and a bunch of stuff up here. So it's a little different. This is a very old one. Back in the day, it was just volume, and that was it. So, but it's a great sounding guitar, and it really she did an amazing job on it. And the fact that, and the reason I picked her was because she does restoration, and I wanted to save this top and not have to refinish it, which would have been a bugger anyway because of this acrylic top. I know some people that have cracked theirs and had it redone, and it was a nightmare. So, but anyway, so she was able to retain the sound of the guitar, and really, it still has that aged sound, and it sounds much better than the old pickup. And she put this bone saddle.
Yeah, yeah.
Now did you adjust this to compensate?
Yeah. So I intonate every bone saddle. It's just. One thing that we did with your guitar also, was the fret ends were coming up, and, a lot of vintage instruments that I see, especially smaller frets, that have binding, have this problem. And it's because, the tang doesn't go all the way out to the edge of the fingerboard. So that little end of the fret has nothing to hold on to.
Right.
So there's a few ways that I've been able to deal with this. And if you follow me on Instagram and see some of my live feeds, I address certain problems sometimes. And so this last week we were talking about crimping tangs in order to keep frets down. And this was one example where a couple of the frets, the ends just didn't want to go down. The wood had shrank away from the tang. So it was a great candidate to go in there, pull the original fret, crimp the tang on either end, and then drop it back into its slot, and it worked perfectly. Sometimes when you'll get the same thing with Gibsons or any kind of neck that's bound with little nibs at the end, you actually have to go through, melt some plastic that's comparable to the binding with a little acetone, and then kind of reactivate that and seal them back in and then reshape them. And that's always fun too, you know, because you're trying to just solve a problem without modifying.
This fret, when I would bend or if I played, sometimes it would get caught and would just catch there right in the middle of the song. And it was like a pain in the butt to get that to work. Now, I have to admit, on my Les Paul that Valdez had done, he rebound it with the cream binding. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting is where the fret ended, he carved the binding.
So he left that little nib. Yeah.
And he left, so it actually butted up against the fret, and so it went all the way around, and then he rounded it around,
yeah.
Which was really, It was back in the day. This was a while ago.
That's
He's
great.
Since passed away, but he actually did on my Les Paul. He redid that, shaved the neck, put the Grovers on it. $75. Can you believe that?
Wait, when was this?
This was like 1974.
Man, around the rent time was I got this. Much cheaper than was it?
Yeah, everything was cheaper. But anyway, that was a problem with this guitar. Is when I was, especially with bending and playing lead work. And this is a light, extra light gauge. So these are 10s on here. And so it was, yeah, that was a problem with the frets. I could feel them popping up, and it was making, so she cleaned it up. I mean, eventually you had advised me that I'm eventually going to have to refret it.
Yeah.
It but it's not bad. It plays really, really nice. And with this neck, it's a really fast guitar. It's a great guitar for like session work and stuff. And especially doing leads on it, it's very easy to play. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's a lovely one.
So this was cool. So that was that. Anything else that had to be done that was out of the norm? I asked you to check the nut. But
yeah,
was that okay?
Yeah, the nut was fine. I think I might have done just a light level in dressing because of some divots you had. But besides that, it's something that these are all things that you see. These are all the repairs that need done on used loved guitars. And it usually happens about 20, 30 years after you have them, right? The bridge starts coming up. The frets are a little wonky. I mean, depending on the alloy, in the material that the frets are, all of this kind of goes into consideration. But when it comes to vintage stuff, it's usually about, within the 20 years that things just start creaking. It's
well,
like
for a guitar
body.
That old, how did it look for wear?
Oh gosh. You've
because I
probably
actually
wipe it down.
I clean the frets.
Yeah.
I polish them. I used to use Flitz.
Yeah, I can tell.
And
yeah.
That saves your, well, Flitz is, it's like this little mild polish, like an abrasive, it's like a metal abrasive ball. It doesn't really, like you can use it on gold plate, doesn't take the gold plate off. But when I would do that, I always got the harmonics from the guitar, especially the electric guitars, when you clean the frets, because you're playing and you're sweating, perspiring, and playing especially clubs or whatever, and it just gets gunky, and it makes the strings rust faster too. So I would always clean them and then wax the fretboard so that it was, moist. And then, I always got the, you can get those harmonics and it's a very bright sound, but it was wearing. I remember, I don't see it now, but there was some little grooves down here because I would strumming all the time. But I mean, I used that. This was my main guitar after my brother took my Yamaha to school with him. So this
What's
was
up
the one.
With that? No.
Well, he was another. The story was my brother went to medical school in Vanderbilt, and he took the guitar, and it's like I kind of acoustic guitar because my Yamaha, which if you've watched the Yamaha show, we did a show on the FG-180, the 50 year. That was I had one of those. It's about 47 years old. It's pretty close to the original. Anyway, so he took that. So my dad said, we'll just get you another one. So I needed an electric one. Because I was gigging a lot. So this is what it was. And I eventually got the Yamaha back. So I have both.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
So now what I want to do is give a description now what you're doing, what Guitars and Caffeine is doing now. Because it's a little different than just a straight repair place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I want to look at, she's brought some other little special guitars.
Yeah. Being on my own, I've been allowed to kind of take on opportunities that I would never have been able to if I was working for or with other people. This last year, it's actually, I've taken about the first 2 months of this year and really questioned what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be in 5 and 10 years. Last year was a trying year. There were things that happened health-wise in my family that kind of woke me up as a younger person to the fact that I want to always be able to be there for my family. And though work is very important to me, I want my family to always come first. And so that's where Guitars and Caffeine has kind of shifted a little bit. So I have a closed book, which it's not too scary. It just means that I don't really advertise and ask for repairs. It's by word of mouth, or if somebody has my phone number or gets my phone number, emails me. I'm more than willing to put somebody on a waiting list, but I don't take on, I don't have open doors. It's by appointment only. I have no desire at this particular moment to open up a storefront. So it's all a private shop. And then my website is slowly being transformed into a guitar repair and building lifestyle publication. And what that basically means is it's not necessarily tutorials on how to reset a neck or gear reviews on pedals. It's everything else that is a part of my life and thousands of people's lives that we don't really talk about. So go to the site, check it out. You're going to see kind of where it's headed. Like I said, it's in its very small starting stages. I have a few people who want to, they're contributing articles. That's taking a little longer because I'm not used to being a chief editor. So it's all just very new, but it's wonderful.
So you were saying a little bit before the show, too, that you're helping people. You're finding a lot of people now are working on their guitars, and you kind of help them.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a consulting type of thing, too.
I've noticed that I've gotten more and more repairers or starting repairers or players who are, they have the knowledge and now the passion to start modifying their own guitars. And a lot of my new clientele are those people. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see because there's this this excitement, you know, this very innocent excitement that comes when you're first learning a craft.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I brought a telly. I'm just going to slide over here. And this is a player's guitar. And you can find this player. His name is Sony, C-U-N-I. That's on Facebook and Instagram and all that. Professional player who isn't necessarily... never was drawn to tools before, but started becoming more and more comfortable with his guitars. He's played for 20 some odd years. And this was a guitar that he recently modified himself, and I thought it turned out so cool. I mean, he's relicking, so you can see he finished this guitar.
He's got a cool back plate on the thing. If turn it around for a minute. There's a little skull on there.
Yeah.
Like a
Day of the Dead.
So that's kind of cool.
So this, and you can find all this stuff online, which is great. You know, I mean, the last 5 years has really kind of online commerce with guitar customization has really just taken off. I mean, it's really exciting because you can really change the aesthetics of your guitar like that. So that's what he's done. His brother had put this together for him and chosen the pickups and kind of simplified everything. And it's a killer guitar.
So it's got a P90
uh-huh.
and a short, it's a, like a narrow P90. It doesn't look that big.
Yeah.
And then it's got a TV Jones in there.
Yeah.
And is that ash?
You know, I don't know what the body is.
On the bottom, it shows some of the, does that look like ash?
It's probably ash because it's pretty.
Is that a real Fender?
Pretty open-y. This is a real Fender neck. So that was another thing. He had this neck that he loved to play, but the guitar that was on it wasn't really it. And he wasn't connecting to the neck that was on this telly. So this was like a project guitar, but I think this guitar has actually kind of traveled the world a little bit.
Mm.
So
it's basically ash with the maple neck.
Yeah. And then lacquer finish. You got a white base coat. And then a Fiesta Red. And then on top of that, you got a blue that he's reliced.
It's like an aqua.
And checked and done all kinds of fun stuff with. And I think that, man, I am all in support of people working on their own guitars, because I think that only connects them more to it. You know, that really just.
Well, yeah. We did it for necessity, because in the 70s, a lot of the guitars were not that well made. And they were banging them out because it was popular. And so they were just making them quick and dirty. And so we had to modify them to get them to do what we wanted them to do.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'm seeing now that a lot of the newer guitars are made well. I don't see the necessity as much as I used to modify them. But
besides the aesthetics.
But it's kind of fun to grab a guitar. You get something used that's, you know, maybe not working or something. And then you can put in what you want. Because like with pickups, it's a whole world of itself. I mean, the woods, too. You can use different woods and stuff like that. I mean, I have a few necks at home that are waiting guitars. They're future projects. Eventually, I'll get to them.
You want
to
plug this in and play it?
Yeah,
this this pickup configuration is killer. Simple, but killer. You know.
Okay, let's turn this guy on.
I think the knob is a little. So we need to find.
So I think this is the P90. Nice P90 sound.
Classic. Cowboy.
Here's the. That's an interesting sound.
Right?
This is cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting.
It's fun, right?
And the neck is good. It's a really nice neck.
I think the neck was from a Mexi run of the Hendrix. Maybe from 8 years ago, something they did that Fender put out. So, yeah, so I wanted to bring that because I'm really excited that I'm working with more players who are just have this drive to connect more with their guitar and with their craft in a technical way
Well, I'm going to play Johnny Carson right now. We're going to stop for a second and answer some of these questions that some of the people.
Yeah.
Now, the first one I'm going to mention is from Jerry, and we don't have a lot of time. You need to answer this really fast, because the question is, how do you deal with impatient customers?
I hang up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, so that's an interesting question. My answer would have been different 5 years ago. How I deal with impatient customers at this point in my career is I'm realistic about me not being perfect upfront with my clients. And I'm realistic about knowing that I'm not fast and things happen and that I need the time in order to think and focus. And so I just tell people, I just overquote the time and...
you got to pad it. You have to pad it.
And they're either happy or I'm not the shop for them. Right now, my clientele is very lenient, and I am so blessed for that. But, you know, I also get, at this point in my career, I get really difficult projects that have either been in other shops or other shops have said no all along the way. So I'm kind of like the last resort. So as long as... Well, they think that it's getting done. You know what I mean? As long as they know that eventually in a year it's going to get done or they're happy.
Yeah.
You know, I think back when I first started, I heard this advice, right? I heard the advice of make sure you kind of overquote the time it's going to take. And I never really got it until I got it. So I would say to Jerry, the people that are in your queue right now that are kind of giving you a headache about it, you've just got to kind of backtrack and apologize and be honest with them that you've maybe underquoted, and don't take offense if they want progress shots. Get excited with their enthusiasm. I don't think that any customer really calls you and nags you just because they want to nag you. I think that they're really excited about the project and the work that you're going to do, and they will give you that extra time if you're willing to just be honest and straightforward with them and you know, just welcome their excitement.
Yeah, well, as a client, and now I was fortunate. I didn't need this guitar immediately. So I was able to give her enough time to do it, and it wasn't a rush job, and I told her, it's like, you know, just take whatever you need. But when you do that with somebody, especially like her and some of the other people that I've used, a lot of the people that have worked on my guitars, they care. Yeah. And that's one thing, she cares. And if you're considerate and you like give her the time, you'll get more for your money because she's going to work harder. If she, you know, if you're cool with her, she's going to be cool with you, but she cares about the guitar. So it might take a little longer, like she did with the bridge. You know, look at, I didn't know that there was a finish under there. I had no idea. You know, if it wasn't no job is just a cut and dry, easy job that easy. There's always some type of issue. You have to give her enough time. So what did she do? She took a little longer to fix, you know, to take the finish off under the bridge. But look, I have a better sounding guitar and it looks perfect. It doesn't look like, it looks like that bridge was made for this guitar. And I think that's one of the things, if you work with, and especially if you have a pair person that's passionate about what they do and they really love what they're doing, it can't hurt. Give them the time because they will make it better. Mm-hmm. When you're in a hurry, there's compromises. It's like anything. When you have your car fixed or any type of thing, if you can give yourself the time. Now, I realize not everybody has another guitar. You might, if it's your main axe, that's a big problem because that's your bread and butter. And that's an issue too. But the thing is, if you can't, you'll get more for you'll get more bang for your buck and you'll get a better guitar. And somebody with the expertise like Chelsea, in terms of what I've seen her do with restoration and stuff and some of the other guitars that she brought in here, it's amazing how she can fix something that most people would think was totaled. And I mean, you know, that's, to me, it's worth the wait. If you get the guitar to play like this guitar is playing now, yeah, it might take a few more weeks or something like that, but hey, it's there now. It plays, great. I can use it for anything. It's all set to go. So that's my say.
I think that's great. And yeah, Jerry, you got to just figure out how to communicate that to your customers. And I have noticed that transactions with money before the job is done really muddies up something like that. So what I do is I don't really take deposits. Now, if you're building for somebody, that might be a little, you know, maybe you take enough deposit for the material, but people get a little anxious when their money's tied up and they don't know what's going
on. Well, as a guitar player, what I usually offer, and you'll go farther as a guitar player going to people, is offer at least half up front. Everything's an estimate. So you don't know what's going to happen. Something might happen. Hey, you know, you really need this. I could have needed a new nut on here and that would have cost more. I didn't need it, but it could have, you know, we didn't know because I had to have her let her go through the guitar and really figure out what the problems were. And so, you know, usually as a customer, it's always a good thing to offer something. In her case, she said, don't worry about it, I'll let you know. But in this case, I had the materials. There was only, I think, the bone nut. But if I had her to do something where there was like total refret and she had to buy the frets, you know, that's common to just help pay for that cost, knowing that it's going to be a little bit more. For example, when I had the pedal board done by Kathy Lauer, I paid for a certain amount of it, and then she had to let me know how much it was after. You don't know, you know, but you can kind of ballpark it and figure it out. So anyway, just that's from my experience. I like to have when I work with people, I like them to like me. And usually when you offer to pay, it goes a long way. So anyway, now I have another question from Mike. And Mike says, best file for fret grooming.
Okay, so I rarely share brands unless I'm just sharing what I keep in my toolbox, because I'm not a logo wearing kind of person. I think that any kind of tool can be used as long as you know how to use it. So I would say, in relation to fret filing, crowning, things like this, triangle files tend to work best. The cut, you might want a fine to super fine cut, and make sure there's a safe edge. Besides that, the brand doesn't matter. You could find the best tools, you know, at a garage sale. So I hope that helps, but the safety edges always help. So if you have a triangle file that you're using, make sure you grind down or sand off those corners, because you don't want to cut into that fretboard.
Okay, that sounds good. Jordan asks, what's the hardest bracing style to repair?
I don't ever look at certain types of guitars to be harder than the other. I would say, you know, I've repaired some boutique guitars, some classical boutique guitars, that everything's really, I don't want to say everything's fragile. Everything is so delicate.
Yeah.
The bracing's super thin. The top is thin. Those make me a little nervous, just because compared to something like, you know, a vintage Gibson, where you have kind of chunky braces.
Let me ask,
more forgiveness in those than there is with this, you know.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Flat top versus arch top.
Oh, God. Flat top every day.
Harder?
Oh, no, easier. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I will take a flat top every day. Mostly because a lot of arch tops are really hard for repairs to get into. I mean, F-holes aren't that big. If you're talking about electronics and there's no... there's no other openings. I mean, some of these vintage arch tops, even the pickups, you know, it's
usually have to go through the pickup holes.
Yeah, in some of them, there's no
pickup
holes.
But when you're
holes.
Using like an ES-335, exactly. Which has the block, there's
nothing, yeah. Right? So arch tops are kind of a pain to, you know.
That's interesting. Mm. Now, Zach asks, are there any parts of the repair process that you get the most nervous about doing?
Everything. I'm working on my anxiety. No, but it's true. It's I get the most nervous about not seeing all of the what ifs. Yeah. When I work on a guitar, and this kind of goes into the time that it takes, I really put a lot of effort into seeing, if I do this, what will happen? Mostly because sometimes I have bags of splinters that I've got to rebuild from crushed guitars. I have one in my shop right now. It was in a car wreck 25, 30 years ago. It's been in four other shops. The client was gracious enough to let me kind of play with this, going on 3 years now, mostly because every time that I've put it together, because it was apart for so long, it's shifted, right? And I was, you know, things like that, when you take a smash guitar apart, you do get a little nervous, you know, when you keep on redoing something, and then you get over yourself and think, well, okay,
Are you replacing the smash part, or are you actually reconstructing
it? No, so I had to reconstruct it. He wanted me to use all of the, as many original pieces as there was. From traveling through multiple shops, it lost a handful of pieces, which was unfortunate. But most of it, when I get nervous with repairs, I try to remind myself to go back to math and physics and chemistry. Because that kind of takes you out of the cerebral and back into reality. And then you realize that even though you want to do the best job you can do, you are working on a guitar and not a living person.
Yeah.
You know, and you, because at some point you got to be realistic about what's going on.
Well, is that, was that a solid body or acoustic guitar?
Acoustic. F50.
Oh, wow.
Guild.
Wow.
Yeah.
There and will you're be missing pictures. Pieces. Yeah. Well, you got to bring that in.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
yeah,
a show.
I'll talk to the owner and see if I that, can.
That's
yeah.
A whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to sound beautiful. But yeah, it's, it's been quite a, there's been sleepless nights over that guitar.
Before we show your Gibson that yeah. you brought in, anything in the, any questions?
No.
Any questions? I can't see the,
no, this is kind of, yeah, the Instagram,
my Instagram died. Eh. So, but anyway, okay, let's take a look at this other guitar that you brought in.
Yes.
This is your guitar,
this
right?
This is my guitar. This is, there are very few guitars in this world that I've fallen in love with because I am spoiled and have been privy to amazing guitars from the time that I've started, that I started repairing guitars. And so this is an LG Zero from 64. And I got it from Guitar Emporium in Louisville, Kentucky, right before, I think it was right before I moved back to Athens, or maybe I moved down. I was actually working. I got a job offer at Gibson. I moved down to Nashville. And I got it for, it was listed for $450. I talked them down to $250 cash because it had been there for so long. And because if you've ever seen an LG Zero from the 60s, they come with plastic bridges that usually were originally black and then have kind of molded to this white color. The frets were really divoted. It had a chunk out of the back of it. I don't know. I don't think you guys can see this, but there was a big old hole in the back, multiple cracks, and it needed a neck reset.
What is this, all mahogany?
All mahogany.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I see a little hole there. What's that
yeah,
from?
So that was, so this is, I mean, this is a repairer's guitar, right? So I don't, I never go all the way. No, that was one of the mounting holes for the original bridge.
For the plastic.
Yeah, bridge. For the plastic bridge. And because I also wanted this guitar to intonate better, I pushed it back a little bit more. So yeah, you can see kind of the old outline, and that was one of the mounting holes for the screws.
Let me hand it
yeah,
over
please.
Here.
Yeah, please. Yeah, play it. I absolutely love mahogany, aged mahogany guitars. I think they're delight. I put Monels on this, and it really brings out the mids. I mean, mahogany is MIDI to begin with, but it just softens all the brightness.
You're using, these look like electric guitar strings, right?
They're Monels. So they're the, yeah, they're the, Martin has them, and they're just like a vintage alloy. They're just great. They just mellow mahogany's right out.
Yeah. It's got a nice sound. It's really easy
yeah.
to play.
Yeah.
This is a nice neck.
Yeah.
It's a really nice neck. And this is all mahogany. This yeah. is great.
Is
look at this. I got to show the back.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
so.
It's like totally different.
So what happened there was, so when we first moved to LA, we were living in West Hollywood in a tiny little apartment trying to figure out this big old city. And actually my first day off in about 9 months of working 6 days a week, we go up for lunch up the hill to a burger joint, eat outside, and see a billow of smoke rising from down the hill, and we think that it was maybe a car fire or something. It smelled like plastic. So we just kind of finish our lunch casually and start walking back down the hill, and realized, come to find out, it was our apartment.
Oh, jeez.
They caught fire. So, yeah, it was bad. There was something in the wall. The wiring in the wall wasn't done properly, and so there was an arc that started the fire in it, like right behind one of the outlets. And good thing it was, you know, right down the street from the fire department. So by the time the fire department got there, they were able to put everything out. Unfortunately, there was whatever chemical was in the fire, totally, ate away at everything metal, left this black tar that couldn't be cleaned out of anything fabric. We tried, and so the guitars, all the guitars that were in this fire, we were able to save by repairing them. But all the metal is still slightly tarnished.
Yeah, you get that. I've seen that from...
So, you know. But yeah, one of the... It's just so funny with this one because I don't know if there was something over this. There must have been like a shirt or a cloth that covered this one and not this one.
Yeah.
So, and you can tell, you know, nothing changed on it. So.
No, I just, while she was talking, the reason I was shooting a picture is one thing that's really cool on this guitar is the binding is tortoiseshell. Yeah.
So it just matches right in there with the body.
It's just a very interesting, and this is the original finish?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Isn't it?
That is.
And I find really that any vintage mahogany guitar that I pick up is just, I mean, hands down, the best sounding instrument. I love vintage mahogany acoustics. I don't see enough of them.
No, you don't
see
too
many. Come on, builders, start building. We need really good vintage mahoganies in 30 years. Let's go.
Anyway, we're out of time, but it was great. This is great. And thank you for the questions, everybody that contributed. It's guitarsandcaffeine.com.
Yes.
And I'm just going to make a little plug. She has some really cool shirts and swag there. So you got to check that out.
I'm going to have to bring some next time.
Yes. Yes. And, but anyway, thank you so much. And I, check and
it's
see.
Always a
pleasure. I do want to see this guild.
Okay.
I have to try.
Yes.
I have to see what this is about. But
give me 2 months. I think I'm about to wrap it up. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. No, we'll do that. But anyway, check out her site. And if you got any questions or whatever you're doing, give her a call. One of the things I found that that's very cool about Chelsea is she's great to, you know, to bounce ideas on and talk to. And she, you know, she'll chat with you and give you the best advice that she thinks will, you know, she pretty much knows what can work and what can't work. And her restoration work has just been amazing. So. And yeah, it's just, we'll have another show. There's many more coming with Chelsea. So I just want to thank you. But anyway, we will be back next week. Let me get the music started here for the background. And there we go.
This is such a good hang.
Thank you so much. Everybody have a great week. Thank you, Doug, for manning the chat room for me. And we will see you next week. Thank you.